Good afternoon. Is there an interest in your prayers? Have some thoughts on our heart we'd like to share with you. We'd like the congregation to turn to number 126 and sing verse 1, please. May the Lord help us as we consider the thought, what are the things that we cry for? We realize we cry for many different things. And I would ask you, when is the last time you cried? And I would ask, what was it about? You know, for some reason, we want to hear a newborn baby cry. Then it seems that we want them to shut up. You know, crying may be one of our first languages or way of communication that we have. We cry for many different reasons. What are the things that we cry for? In James, the first chapter, we begin reading, and it states there, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of the lusts? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lust." You know, there are people crying about wars. There are. Because of some war they want to win. There are people out there crying or praying because they're getting ready to go into some kind of fighting match so they can win over their opponent. There are people at football games that are crying for the things that they want. People are crying for a lot of different things. What are the things that you're crying for? When is the last time you cried? When is the last time that something voluntarily or involuntarily brought you to tears? You know, some people can get in a mode where they think that, well, you shouldn't cry. And a lot of times they want to get involved with that and think that, well, men shouldn't cry. My scripture tells me Jesus wept.
That's right.
And over in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, we read in verse 3, as it's saying, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate. I think of the scripture over there where Jesus is saying this kind can come out not but by prayer and fasting. People getting involved in fasting for strife and debate. And to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. There are people that are fasting that they might be able to smite others to get an advantage of them. You know, sometimes I think of that scripture that speaks that, speak to this mountain and be thou removed into the midst of the sea. You know, sometimes you have people that are praying about mountains that they want moved, but the dirt's going to be going in their neighbor's backyard. In Luke, the 12th chapter, as we look at verse 13, says, one in the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. You know, that's a common thing that people are dealing with. You can get on the radio sometimes, you'll hear a lot of different things. People that are really up in arms about inheritance and what's going on with it. Speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And in a way I look at this and I think that, you know, he would have come to the right source. But in my mind, I see Jesus somewhat sidestepping the issue, as no doubt he's not really trying to get involved in it. And maybe that might be a hint to some of us as ministers. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, now the admonition that he had to give is, take heed and beware of covetousness, A lot of people are weeping because of covetousness. Things that they want, things they desire, things they feel they have to have. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto this end, that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided for? You know, that's quite a thought. When you consider the things that people are moaning and groaning about. See, my 401k went bad. And somebody crying because my $500,000 in the stock market went down to $250,000. Please weep for me. And see, my record was number one on the charts, and now it's all the way down to 10. People going through great distresses. There were three sisters. Their mother had died, left a house for $800,000. It was to be divided among the three. One of the sisters had children. Two of the sisters got together and decided, well, they need to take that money and to divide it amongst the children also. And that was creating a problem. You find that on and on, people are having to deal with their problems of riches. Even in marriage, it seems to be that one of the greater problems are the financial woes. Looking into the finances, how are we going to deal with that? What are the things that are pressing upon your heart that are influencing you? The things that you're crying for. In Mark, the 9th chapter, as we look at verse 33, and he came to Capernaum, speaking about Christ. And being in the house, he asked the disciples, what was it that you disputed among yourselves, by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. You know, those are things that people are striving for. Yes. Sometimes that's a great part of the inner motivation. That's true. Behind what people are doing. Sometimes, even in the midst of spiritual circumstances, that's why the Spirit of God can't have its way. Because there are people that are striving to be the greatest. Have you ever seen anybody dealing with something like that? What about when you see little children playing? They simply want to take all their toys and keep them to themselves. Starts out young, doesn't it? Then they can just cry and cry and cry when somebody takes their toys. What are the things that touch you? What are the things that you're troubled about? What are the things that are actually bringing you down to tears? When you're troubled at night, what are you troubled about? The things that are disturbing you. What are those things? I'm not asking you to bring it out to me. But I just want you to think about it. I want you to think about your innermost part of yourself. What is it that moves you? These problems. You know, one dear mother, she just came to Jesus, let him know that, grant that one of my disciples can sit on the right and the other one on the left. You see how we can be? That sounds pretty good to me. Just, they're trying to figure out who should be the greatest. Really, I think my boys should be just, that's pretty plain to see. We say common sense should tell you that. And I have to hand it to her because, what was it, Peter, James, and John? James and John seemed like they were always close to Jesus. So just, I don't know about Peter, but James on one side and John on the other, I guess. And just let it be. We look over here at one of the old prophets in Jeremiah 9:1. It says, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears. Lord, have mercy. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears. That I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people." Lord, help us. You know, sometimes I think about the song that says, "God bless America, land that I love." You know, do you ever begin to shed tears about this country we live in? Yes. Yes. Have you ever just been driven down to tears when you think about what we're dealing with? When you think about the laws that have been passed? Does it ever bring you down to your knees? Does it ever bring you down to a place where you feel like weeping before God? Lord, help us out, please. Yes, yes. We've got some laws. Supreme Court has been wrestling with one just here lately. A monumental law. I believe Roe versus Wade, that should have never been. But yet our country slipped off into that. Been in it for several years. How much longer will it be in that state? You know, the word of God teaches us to pray for kings and all that are in authority. Have you been doing any weeping for our president? I know maybe we've been doing a lot of talking at him, but I'm talking about seriously weeping for him. Crying out to God for our leaders. Matthew 23. Begin to look at verse 37. You find Jesus there. And I believe there's one portion where you find, I believe it's speaking about that Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he wept. And it's saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered their chickens under her wings, but ye would not." How often is it that people that maybe you have a burden for, that you're reaching out for, that you're praying for, you're fasting for, and they're steadily walking away from God? In the prodigal son, do you think the father ever wept? You know, in one place, they were weeping for Christ. Christ said, "Weep not for me, weep for yourselves and weep for your children." We need to weep for our children. Many reasons. One good reason, because the mess that we're leaving behind, they're going to have to live in it. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes I think, Lord, bless the children. As to thee we come. See, we moving on. Lord, guide them by your spirit till their work on earth is done. You know, we can't stay with them. Much as no doubt we like to. I know I'm not getting any younger. But when you look out, we need God by His Spirit to take hold of our children. Weep that they may get acquainted with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You know, it's something. To weep about. When you see somebody going forward, under the power and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that's something to weep about, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They've got it. Do something to you. You might not be intentional, but you find the tears running down your face. Praise the Lord. just to realize they've gotten a hold of God. You know what Simeon said? Let now thy servant die in peace, I believe he said. I'm not saying I'm going to die right now, but praise the Lord. Even though I'm moving off the scene, they got a hold of something, praise the Lord. To lead you and guide you in all truth. We look over in Psalms, the 56th chapter. It says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? How many bottles do you have up there? Lord, have mercy. Sister was talking about the seem like special services over Monarch and people weeping and crying. Amen. Yes. How many bottles do you have up there? Amen. Crying out to God. With a burdened heart. With a stir in your soul. What are the things that we're crying about? The things that deeply touch us. The things that bring us to our knees. You know, sometimes we need to examine the things that bring us to our knees. Amen. There are some things we're crying about. We need to snuff them up. Isn't that what you tell the children? Yes. Snuff it up. There's some things we need to cry about that we're not crying about. Yes. Amen. Yes. We can end up crying about what we want to cry about. All right. Yes. In 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter. Verse 33, and is speaking about King David concerning Absalom. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. I'm sure I would have been crying too. But I wonder, did anybody cry when Uriah died? Did anybody say, Uriah, Uriah, would God I had died for thee? I don't think David did. See, we cry about the things that we want to cry about. I remember one time years ago, driving in a truck with a man. And I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but we were driving in a truck. It seemed like another car was beside us and a little dog or something ran out in the way and it got hit by a car. We basically almost had to stop. The other man was driving. He went to tears. It brought him down to tears. I'm not saying that's bad. I remember another neighbor as a boy. His brother backed out and backed over his kitten. We did the best we could. We almost had a funeral service. The young fella was distraught almost over it.
And I'm not saying he shouldn't have been. But I'm saying, what are the things that we're weeping about? Matthew 2 and 18. You find the scriptures, things were taking place. It says in Ramah, was there a voice heard? A voice heard. Lord have mercy. Lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children. Amen. See Herod turn loose. Please just slay all the male children 2 years and under. You got a lot of mothers crying. Weeping for their children would not be comforted because they're not weeping. Weeping for children. Death is a very powerful thing. No doubt someday they'll, and maybe they're already doing it, maybe putting up monuments for all the people that have died during COVID. And it's bad. May the Lord help every family that has lost someone to COVID. You know, but I think about all the children that have been aborted. Yes. Which staggers over COVID monumentally.
That's right.
Monumentally.
That's,
and when's the last time we shed a tear? Amen.
Yes.
We go right on like it's everyday business. In the midst of COVID, shut down everything except for essential things. Abortion is essential.
Such brave doctors
getting up in the morning, getting themselves prepared, braving through COVID. All the dangers out there. I got a real job. I need to go kill a baby. And why are we weeping? Amen. Why is it that in our society we can go so many years and so little is done about it?
You know, we can weep about things that affect us directly. And it says over in Luke 23 and 28, as I said, weep for yourselves and for your children. Amen. People are weeping for a lot of things. Some things that maybe you and I would not imagine. People are stirred. People are weeping. Songs of Solomon, the 5th chapter. Says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. My heart failed when he spake. I sought for him, I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Broken love. People are weeping. Yes, they are. Seemed like there was one lady up in New York somewhere. Seemed like a man. She knew he was supposed to meet her at a certain corner at a certain time, and she got there and he was not there.
Lord have mercy.
So she could be found there in tattered clothes, walking up and down the street, still searching for him. And I believe that had been maybe 15 years. See people that are distraught because of broken love relationships.
The watchmen about the city found me. They smote me and wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Lord, have mercy. It's a powerful thing. Sometimes people get divorced and it's all they can handle. Some of them kill themselves.
Just not too long ago, I believe, down in Florida. Seemed like there was a young man that was involved with a young lady and he broke up with her. Somebody else got with this young lady and I suppose some intimacy took place and he was jealous because of it. Even though he had left her, he got with some other young people and they went and killed the guy. Amen. Things that reach us deeply. You know, sometimes I think that, well, I wish something like that hadn't happened. You know, it prevents you. They could have went ahead and got together. They'd have probably split up in a few years anyway. The things people are involved with. The things they actually cry about. And many times they are things that need to be cried about. But what are the things that we're weeping for? Are you weeping for anything? Do you have anything before God that you're laying out before God? Then Lord, have mercy on me.
Isaiah, the 38th chapter. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And he said, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, how that I walk before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Amen. I don't know Hezekiah's condition. I don't know why he had that condition. But I believe he was probably in his 30s or 40s when he was sick like this. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, I believe he died at age 55 after the Lord gave him 15 years. But if you look back in the history, you'll find his father died young and his grandfather died young. But I just say we're weeping concerning our health. That's good. We need to be weeping about our health.
Amen. We need to be weeping about our health.
That's okay if we get quiet. That's all right.
But I'm still saying we need to be weeping about our health.
But I'm going to say, when do we need to be weeping? Amen. I know it don't taste good, but you know, a lot of time we'll weep when we're almost gone, and that's all right too. But sometimes we need to be weeping while we're still up and healthy.
Yes, right.
David wept when Absalom died, but he should have been weeping when he was dealing with Bathsheba.
That's right.
Amen. He should have been weeping, Lord, I got a problem on my head. Please help me. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Right. We need to be weeping about our health. When we cannot pass up that fifth piece of pumpkin pie. Amen.
Yes.
We need to break down and cry. Lord, I just can't seem to stop eating it. We need to be crying. Amen. We need to be crying when we refuse to get up and go walk.
Brother, you need to shut up on that.
Amen.
I know I'm going to say the wrong thing now.
Even doctors will tell you that exercise is the best medicine.
Yes,
that is so. Amen.
Yes.
And we need to be weeping, myself included.
Yes,
when I know I need to get up and get going, but I just don't feel like it. Amen.
Yes.
We need to get out and cry. Lord, help me to do better.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we do. I'm just saying this for the good of Zion, that's all. You know how people say, well, this is for your good. You know, it's for my good, too.
Yes.
We actually need it. We need a lot of help along those lines. That ain't my message tonight, though, today. But we actually need it. You know, Hezekiah wept sore. You know, he got. Prophet had to turn back around. Amen. Prophet had to turn back around. You know, and maybe I don't have no Bible for it, but I'm going to call that a heart cry. You ever had a heart cry? Amen. You know, there's something different than a heart cry and just a normal cry.
Brother, I don't believe all that stuff. Go ask any mother. There's different cries babies have.
Is there? Oh, yeah. Baby have different cries. You know, when you have a baby, they're crying, and mama can say, well, yeah, But there's a certain cry a baby can have, and that mama get up and start moving.
Right.
Even daddy get up and start moving.
Yes.
You know, we can have a cry before God that's actually a heart cry.
Yes.
To me, it's something different than just a normal cry. I believe that's what Hezekiah entered into. Entered into a heart cry by the grace of God. See, song number 284. As you begin to ponder and look at verse 3. Says the lilies clothed with garments fair. The ravens flying through there. You know, sometimes we want things, but you know, it's just like, well, you know, Lord, it'd be nice, you know. I don't really know here. We don't hardly know ourselves whether we want it or not.
But it said the lily is clothed with garments fair. The ravens flying through the air. Our blessed Father cares for all, praise the Lord. He seeth even the sparrows fall. His children more he surely loves. Amen. Their cry, his heart with pity moves. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The word of God teaches you and I to come boldly to the throne of grace. We may find grace to help in a time of need. See their cry, his heart with pity moves. And I'm going to say right here myself, the heart cry especially. Like I say, a baby has different cries. Baby can have a cry that'll turn mama's head. Amen. You can tell the difference. Amen. You can feel the difference. You know, and sometimes we can ease into a heart cry. Don't even really realize that we're in it. But to me, it's deeper. I'm not trying to get away from the word. And I guess you can question me all down about it if you want to. You don't have to agree with it. But I believe it's in there by the grace of God. A heart cry that goes on down deep. I want to show you some of the things that I consider a heart cry. Turn over there to 1 Samuel. Look at the first chapter. You see what's going on there. You have somebody which I consider in the midst of a heart cry. This crying out to God. Seeking God. Begging God for his love and his mercy. 1 Samuel 1 and 10. Believe over there is speaking about Hannah. As she's looking to God. And it says there in verse 10. Says that she was in the bitterness of soul. Amen. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Something's going on here. She's in the bitterness of her soul. She's praying unto God. She's weeping sore. Praise the Lord. You know, when Eli looked at her and thought she was drunk. But she told him, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Amen. She says, and of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. See, she's come to God, her heart. Oh, it's laden. Her heart is heavy. She's crying out unto God. Me, a heart cry can get into the place sometime where your heart is so deeply into that thing, your lips can actually stop, but your heart continues to cry out to God. Get on you so heavy sometime that every step you take and Lord bless, Lord bless, Lord bless. That's all you can get out of there. But you actually have a heart cry before God. She got her petition. The bitterness of soul. You know, when I think of this, I want to almost look at this, the heart cry. as being a different mode of battle. Amen. You know, out there, and I'm not saying you need to go out there, but if you get into something, you want to be aware of somebody that knows karate. You want to be aware of somebody that knows judo, jiu-jitsu, all those different forms of fighting. I've heard of men in special forces that could stand right there and go inside and to a live hog. Go right there and pull that heart out while the hog's still standing there. Watch out for those that do mode of battle with a heart cry. Amen. Watch out for it. Seemed like the story long years ago.
I'm not saying you ought to be involved in it or not.
But seemed like they had a horse pulling contest. Pulling weight or something. And the man was trying and trying to get his horses to pull, and they struggled and struggled and they could not do it. Seemed like he went to him and he got them down on their knees. And down on their knees, they pulled that load. There is a heart cry. It's a different mode of battle. But if you get in a tight place, ask God to help you. Praise the Lord.
God will hear you cry. Over there in Revelations, the 5th chapter. I'm going to pick up on a little thought over there. You know, you got John the Revelator over there. We want to look somewhat about what he's crying about. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written on the within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John, speaking there, he says, "And I wept much." That's something to weep about, praise the Lord. Because no man was found worthy. I mean, if you begin to ponder and think about that, no man was worthy to open the book or to read. But one of the elders said to me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah," praise the Lord, "the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loosen the seals thereof." But you know, John had something to weep about. Songwriter wrote a song and said, "Had it not been." Amen. You know, that's something to ponder. Had it not been. But I believe it went on to say, "But I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup." You know, when you turn over there to Luke, the 22nd chapter, we're talking about the things that we weep for. Luke 22. You begin to look at verse 40. "And when he was at the place, speaking of Christ, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Something is going on.
and being in agony, he prayed with more earnest, and sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Amen. May the Lord help us. What's the songwriter saying? Believe in one song he's saying, go to Gethsemane. Hear that mournful sound. See the Savior weeping, weeping on the cold, damp ground. There was something to weep about. All mankind, praise the Lord, for you and I, that we could have salvation. Now that was something to weep about. That was something to really be troubled about. You know, the disciples, they were asleep. You know, we don't want to be asleep. Songwriter says, beyond where Kedron's waters flow so brightly and so free, behold the loving Savior go to sad Gethsemane. Then it says, go to Gethsemane. Hear that mournful sound. See the Savior weeping, weeping on the cold, damp ground. Seemed like there was a mother that spent a lot of time weeping for her children. And I believe after her decease, they, or maybe even before she died, I don't know, but somebody came across a place out there by an old stump where the knee prints had just sunk on down in the ground. Do we spend any time weeping for our children, for our loved ones, for our congregations, for the church of God in the midst of COVID? Does it make you cry? Lord, help us. Yes. Amen. Do you ever, wherever you are, feel a strange stirring that brings you to tears? Does this do anything to you? It's just a sounding cymbal. Or does it actually do something to you? You ever had somebody say, I was brought to tears? What is it that brings you to tears? This song 325, think about it. It says, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Did it begin to bring you to tears? Does it actually begin to affect you? Do you feel anything? You know, when you sing those songs, does it do anything to you at all? Or is it just a good song out there somewhere? You turn over to 347 and you begin to look at verse 2. And it says, brother, can we guiltless linger when to us this truth is given? Tearless, see the heathen dying without God or hope of heaven. Can you do it? Just sit back tearless, don't bother you. You know people are perishing. Can you just walk right by and see the man over there in the ditch and just pass by on the other side? But it said, all because we do not love them. Millions feel the heathen grave. Brother, can you see them perish when a little love would save? Do songs like that bring a strange stirring within you? You know, we sing songs every now and then. But does it put a stir in you? Does it actually do something to you? You look at that song number 341 as we get ready to close on out. But on this song is saying, on the borders of eternity, the world is standing now. In a moment, all the wicked will be lost in endless woe. Oh, they need some gospel teacher that they might salvation know, who will quickly go and warn them, brother, sister, will you go? See, then you get off down that course. And it says, hear them calling. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us out. Brother Ivan, you got anything I can dig some of this wax out of my ears? But it said, hear them calling. Do you hear anybody calling? Amen. I remember one time back home, Brother McCray called that song on a Wednesday night. Seemed like it left a strange stirring within me for days. Hear them calling. Had a friend I went to first grade with. I've talked about it before. He never seemed like he wanted anything to do with the things of God. I brought him to church one time as a teenager, I believe it was. He just never seemed like he adapted to those kind of things. Every once in a while he'd come by the house and we'd talk a little bit and maybe have prayer. I didn't think too much of it. One day I just happened to be coming home. Got home to do something. He whipped up in the driveway. Got out and began to talk. We talked a little while. He seemed like to me the same old fella he always was, always busy with whatever he was trying to do. I believe I may have had prayer with him that time and went on my way. Tell you the truth, I think I looked back to make sure he was getting on out of the driveway because I probably left before he did. Next day I was on the work, going on the way to work, I believe. At work. Anyway, I heard about a truck that hit a tree. Seemed like the person died. I don't know why, but seemed like something that just gripped me. Later on, I found it was him. He had dropped by my house one day before he died. His sister wanted me to take care of the service. And then she told me something that really shook me. And she said, you were the closest thing to a pastor that he had. I didn't know it was depending on me. Hear them calling for the gospel. Is that something to cry about?
Yes.
You know, but after that, God told me, quicken your steps. Quicken your steps. There are people out there that need help all around us. Quicken your steps. Pray for me.